Welcome to Crypto Nights, where we help you finally make sense of the trending world of cryptocurrencies. So gather your virtual piggy bank and let's get started.
Portia, welcome to Crypto Nights. I am just so excited. This is going to be one of the best podcasts. I've been going through Netfort for a while, and I'm just so excited to have you on our podcast as a guest speaker.
Thank you, Khand. I'm excited to be here.
Why don't we start off, Portia, tell us a little bit about yourself and then let's delve into Netfort.
Sure. I can start with kind of how I got involved with Netfort, which will give you an idea of my background and what landed me here. I was brought into the project by my colleague, Steve Gant, with whom I first worked about 5 years ago in a B2B security company. He and I, have stayed in touch and worked together off and on over the years. And he knows my background and where my interests lie, as well as that I've had now, almost a decade of experience marketing arcane and complex technology products. So with that professional experience and my personal and intellectual interests, which lie in international relations and economics, a blockchain solution for voting is sort of just the apex, it really just aligns in every way. And so he thought it would be interesting to get me involved, and I'm excited to bring my different experiences and educational background to bear in making this project successful.
You know what's funny? Everybody knows that somebody's going to do a blockchain for net voting. ever since blockchain came out, people know that. Use cases that's been often quoted.
Absolutely.
But it is fun when it is you who are doing it.
Absolutely. Yeah, so. It's one of the, it's one of those examples of where blockchain fits best that gets trotted out along with obviously financial transactions, supply chain, real estate transactions, conflict mineral tracking, that sort of thing. It's like hard problems that have their own economies of scale associated to them. And I think that's where blockchain really fits in and can potentially be disruptive in a positive way, right? Always have to be careful.
Yeah. Cloud decision making, fraud elimination, anonymity, privacy. I mean, think about all the elements. Funnily, it's a paradoxical environment where you want to preserve people's anonymity in decision making, and yet you should have the trackability or traceability to who voted and how many times they voted. Unlike in Chicago, where I used to live in Chicago for 3 decades. And there the mantra was vote early and vote often.
Right. Absolutely. And Russia just went through an election where ballot stuffing was rampant. So, fraud in its various iterations, I think, has always followed elections around as long as we've been holding them.
Yeah. And we used to see pictures in the newspaper back home when I was growing up in India. Right outside the ballot booth, there would be a guy standing with a gun, making sure people are all voting.
Oh my gosh! I know. I mean, there are so many wonderful and frightening and interesting examples of the way different electoral bodies hold elections. I mean, there were some very interesting stories on the recent Egyptian elections in the New York Times. Where they were using stick and carrot, type expression to get voters to the polls. I mean, a combination of punitive measures like compulsory voting, as well as incentives and payments and food and cash and that sort of thing, plus threats. I mean, there are, I think, these issues follow whether you're looking at that type of example with Egypt or, examples where it's a little bit more hidden here in the U.S. I think these types of issues follow voting around, no matter where it happens.
So, what is the backstory behind Netfort? How did it come about?
Well, the two principals are Jonathan Alexander and Stephen Gant. They both are incredibly experienced. If you ever talk to them or listen to their stories, they're, I think, in some ways extremely, well, they, I know they are extremely humble about their technical background and their professional experience. But, you know, speaking for Jonathan, I think sort of this project was his brainchild. My understanding of what attracted him to blockchain for voting was exactly what we were just talking about, which is that there have been so many issues around elections. And I honestly go back, you know, as long as humans have been making decisions as a group, that's probably as long as those issues have been around. And blockchain is, as we said, it's uniquely suited to solve some of those problems. Not all of them, obviously. I'm a realist from that regard. I think technology can't completely solve people and process problems, but it can help and it can start filling in gaps. And so I think for Jonathan, it was looking at the world of voting today and seeing that between apathy and fraud, more and more voters are either disenfranchised intentionally or unintentionally, right? Just not wanting to participate because they don't feel like it matters, or not wanting to participate because they feel like it doesn't count, right? So we say net vote for votes that count for a reason, because we think that this will actually allow voters to believe, see, and feel that their vote has been counted. And I think Steve got involved for similar reasons has been guiding the company from a business development perspective towards some of those international use cases that we can talk about if you'd like, where you know, voting and being able to vote is not taken for granted quite yet, because it's still new, or it's hard to do and requires quite an effort.
Yeah. So to help me understand this at the ground level, Portia, assuming your technology is rolled out, how would it look for a Joe Smith that wants to vote? Is it going to be still, they have to go to certain locations where they access this software, or is it going to be from their smartphone or computer? How do you guys envision this?
So I'll have to give you somewhat of a long answer. So the short answer is that we're developing NetVote as a protocol built on multiple blockchains with multiple features, for the express reason that each election will look different. And it may look different within each jurisdiction within an ecosystem. So in the United States, depending on which state you live in, there are different requirements around identity verification, or there's no requirement at all. Simply take the paper that was sent to your house and bring it in to the polling station. The US obviously allows for absentee ballots. There are different geographical challenges in different states. I'm up in Maine right now. Maine has a pretty dispersed and relatively low population with, you know, people living and working and doing very important work when it comes to, you know, obviously their livelihood, but also they're providing goods and services that require them to you know, be out on the water, be in the mountains or in the forest or whatever. So getting to a polling station in Maine or Montana or Wyoming or West Virginia in the mountains isn't necessarily super easy. And then we could talk about, you know, other types of countries where there are geographic challenges, where there are challenges of infrastructure and power and lighting and that sort of thing. And then, of course, there are the non-governmental type voting scenarios where you have e-voting or absentee voting for shareholder elections or for non-governmental organizations. So I think one of the easiest ways to answer what we envision voting would look like is to pick a particular scenario and talk about it, because I honestly think that our solution is being developed to allow for the different nuances and idiosyncrasies of different electoral bodies.
Let's pick the one that people are most interested in. How does this voting for, you know, the head of the country, how does it change from where we are to where it will be?
So in the United States, for example, for like, you know, our next presidential election or something like that?
Yeah, just as an example, walk me through. When you're the vision is accomplished and NetFort is widely adopted, assuming you are successful in getting there, it's global, it's adopted widely, and many of the governments have adopted NetFort and they're using it. Now, how will it look at the ground level to people? How is it different?
So for a voter, it may not feel totally different, right? And in fact, I think as you try to improve and change something as important as voting, you don't want something to necessarily feel totally different right away. The main idea would be to try to provide underlying infrastructure that's based on blockchain so that the requirements of the election and the ballot are being run on NetVote's voting protocol. The ballots themselves could be available in polling stations where people use mobile devices or iPads or Android, whatever, tablets. And there'd be sort of a process where you'd scan a QR code. So that QR code would be associated to your identity. Your identity would be authenticated somehow. That could be done through an integration with our product, or it could be done the way it's already being done. And then you get your ballot on a device. And that device allows you to make your selection, verify your selection, and then you submit your selection. So that's all done on a device, like a tablet or a smartphone. When you send in your vote, you could be given, this is an option, it's not a requirement, right? But you could be given a validation code that would allow you to then go in and authenticate your own vote, ensure that it was allocated where you allocated your vote, and that would give you access to a public audit app so that you could go in as a voter. And when the tally is all made at the end of the election, you could go in and be, you know, an auditor if you wanted, or anyone could. I think, you know, we're aware of the bill in the House right now going back to paper ballots, or at least having paper ballot alongside any e-voting option. We have, I think, not surprisingly, heard the same requests from other governments outside of the U.S. I don't actually imagine that that's antithetical to maybe the first round of voting on blockchain.
Okay. So that brings me to the next question, because it's very easy for people to assume that NetVote is for people, but I don't think that is the case. Who do you consider as your customer? Because it looks like you're a B2B2C type of a business, I'm imagining. So yeah. Who do you see as NetVote's customers or clients?
I mean, you're absolutely right. It's B2B, B2G. And then those businesses or governments will deploy the solution to the voters. So to the extent that, you know, I'm thinking with my marketing hat, I'm thinking, you know, we're really never doing much in terms of talking directly to voters, maybe with the exception of helping those implementers of e-voting on NetVote's protocol to message around why this is more secure, how you can, you know, check your vote, do an audit, that sort of thing. So as you said, it's B2B or B2G, business to government. The buyers would be those companies that implement solutions like election solutions, or governments themselves.
Exactly. That makes a lot of sense. So that's what I expected. You know, I almost expected you to say that the voters won't find any difference whatsoever.
No, I mean, that's why I said I think it wouldn't look too different than what it looks like today. It would depend on the state. I mean, you could maybe imagine a world where people are given, a message on their phone and they vote from the comfort of their own home. But I have a feeling people are, most places are still going to want polling stations.
Yeah. I mean, this is such an important activity that there's a psychology involved behind it. It's not just the physical act of voting.
Exactly.
Anyway, that's one part, but the technology enablement is what is very, very exciting here. the fact that you have identity proof and that they have, you have proof that they have voted once and only once, and you can track it back where, when, the traceability and the accountability. So there are so many, and then fraud prevention.
While protecting the identity of the voter, right? So that
would
be a piece of the protocol that NetVote's doing that blockchain right now doesn't, right, we support that, but blockchain itself would point right back to you and say, Kant voted for this guy, but NetVote's protocol is being developed so that you can see you voted for that guy, but no one else can see that you did.
Yeah, absolutely. No, totally agree with you. So those, the underlying technology is what has gone undergone a revolution and how things are done. So it's not so much the voting itself, but that's a very small piece. It's an important, but a small piece in this equation. What really happens before and after and how that is enabled? How can we provide transparency? How can we provide proof to the people that, hey, this is happening exactly as you expect it to happen?
Well, I think one of the biggest areas where we'll see a change is in around auditing. I mean, so many elections don't get audited, especially in emerging democracies, because auditing is really expensive. Doing a recount is really expensive. You know, there are all these organizations based out of Washington, D.C. and Geneva and other places that go and make observations of elections to ensure that they're done in a fair way and all that stuff. But does an audit happen if there are concerns? Many times not, especially if cost is a primary concern. And this will make it possible. Blockchain will make it possible for anyone to audit an election.
Yeah. And then what technology are you planning to, I don't know if you already come that far, I'm imagining you have. Is this going to be a ERC-20 token? Are you using Stellar? Are you using EOS? Have you decided? Well, because the scalability is so critical here.
Absolutely. Today we're building on Ethereum. The NetVote, our plan and our vision is that this is an open source project. It's already open source, and that it will be polychain or interoperable, so that the open source technology will be developed on a variety of different blockchain protocols, including Ethereum and others. There's a whole, you know, list of priorities that the tech team is working on to then choose which one they'll build out on next. What I should say is it would be up to the electoral body and what their needs were to decide which implementation they wanted.
Yeah. It's been notoriously non-scalable, Ethereum, that concerns me, but I'm glad you have chosen to be agnostic to some extent.
We have a technology partner that's a different protocol that is that we'll be announcing shortly, which is trying to account for the scale issue. And so that's next on our priority list for building out the open source platform.
So in the journey as a company, where are you? Have you built a prototype? Have you done a proof of concept? Are you at where you would call as a MVP stage, where you have proven traction? Where are you in that timeline?
So the project has been around for about 2 years. We have a beta that we're offering to different institutions that help run elections to test and try out. And we're in conversations with a couple of different group decision-making systems, some governmental, some non-governmental, but related to government. And we're working with them to try to deploy a good proof of concept so that they can test the platform and get a feel for it, build some trust, that sort of thing.
Do you have any competitors? Are there others doing the same thing on the blockchain?
Absolutely. Yep. There's a solid handful, and there are even more, I think, out there that aren't well known or tried and failed already. But there are definitely a good number of companies out there giving this a shot.
I think technology is just one piece. I think the adoption is a bigger piece. How do you guys plan to get widespread adoption? What is your game plan on how do you want to get there? Because in a way you have a lot of competition, in another way there is probably no competition, because the question becomes who will get adopted and why. And the reason I'm bringing that up is because we don't want to confuse who the client. That's why I'm staying focused on who the client is: governmental, non-governmental, group decision making organizations. Because at the end of the day, the key will be who knows and understands their problem the best, mm-hmm. and solves it for them. It's not so much of, to some extent, being a B2G to C or B2B to C. There is an end user and an end customer. I understand that the usability for them should be reasonable, but that is not a critical component here. The voter himself or herself is not the key component as the group where the decision making needs to happen. So yeah, what's your take on that?
I mean, I think that's spot on. Technology fails all the time, and innovation never takes off because there is no good plan to get it to market. So, speaking as an economist, wearing my economist hat, you have to understand the market and you have to speak to that. So if there isn't a pivotal problem that the market is trying to address, there's no solution. So I think from that perspective, our focus, NetVote's focus, has to be on providing two things. So let me split it out. So I talked about the open source platform. So that technology will be developed, and the governance of the blockchain protocol will be a nonprofit organization. And they will simply focus on technology development and in the variety of blockchain protocols that it supports and the different feature functionality. NetVote Corporate will be a center of excellence that helps provide learning, understanding, and development testing for the voting protocol. So we would be working with the institutions that run elections, for profit, nonprofit. There's so many of those that I've already talked to and that are very excited about having an alternative. What they want to hear is e-voting is possible. E-voting was tried, and traditional, quote unquote, e-voting has been found more than wanting because it's hackable and it's expensive. It requires dedicated infrastructure. So I think you're spot on with the recognition that technology itself, no matter how beautiful or elegant, is not going, it simply cannot go anywhere without a good plan behind it. And so getting the message out in terms of the market is in a lot of ways as important as the technology itself. In terms of our plan, acknowledging the competition out there, I think it's wonderful that there are other blockchain projects. I hope that some of them succeed and do so with integrity and good use cases, because that helps from the marketing perspective, and I'm sure they'll be looking to us for the same. In the world of, I guess, blockchain voting solutions, just to give you an idea, there are 5 billion ballots cast in the world on average every year in every type of group decision-making system. That's an enormous amount of voting activity. And I think that's an underestimate. That's my estimate, and it's a conservative estimate. So I think there's plenty of room for competition. But in terms of bringing this to an actual market, I think about it in two ways. So the technology, let's acknowledge that piece of it, right? It has to be sound. It has to have a good plan behind it. NetVote will have a foundation, a nonprofit foundation, which will be responsible for developing the blockchain voting protocol and the governance around that protocol. The for-profit NetVote Corporate will be a center of excellence that will provide training and marketing and testing and implementation guidelines and that sort of thing, working with other institutions and B2B service providers to give them the tools that they need to provide or to offer blockchain voting, NetVote's voting solution as an option for governing bodies. So, we don't imagine necessarily always going directly to the government or to the election holder, but we would work with some of the existing providers out there to do that. And I think, just speaking to your question, That is one of the most important things that we can do, because it will help ease the technology into use. And I just don't see adoption happening by, you know, if they build it, if we build it, they will come mentality.
Yeah, yeah. I'm actually going beyond that and wondering if there is a different beachhead or a, you know, Geoffrey Moore talks about this in his book, Crossing the Chasm. And he quotes the example of Documentum many years ago. When it came out, they were stuck at $4 to $5 million of annualized revenues. And Geoffrey Moore came in as a consultant. And his primary goal at that time was to look at their several hundred clients that they had and find what he calls as the first bowling pin. Mm-hmm. What is the beachhead segment? It's almost like the first domino. When you put it down, it makes all others fall down. And they found the regulatory affairs departments of pharmaceutical companies where they had to do clinical trials, which were hundreds and hundreds of pages long, mm-hmm. hundreds of documents, and literally times 100 governments and red line from each of them. It was a veritable nightmare of version control, and that's exactly what Documentum was doing. Mm-hmm. So they said, okay, they have the greatest pain. Let's shut down everything else and let's focus on this beachhead segment. They cracked it. They went to $25 million in annualized revenues in the next few years, went mm-hmm. public, et cetera, et cetera. So here I'm thinking, while net vote tends to conjure up these images of us using it for the traditional political related voting, but there's also this corporate, you know, the proxy votes that you have several times in several companies if you're an investor, mm-hmm. right? Wouldn't that not only be within the scope, I'm guessing, but also a much better starting point, because it's quick. There is a significantly greater pain point. The scale issues are limited, and there is enough pain there. They do want those votes to happen and come in at the right time and all of that. Absolutely. And they want anonymity and so on and so forth. So what is your take on that?
Yes, that's a great point. At NetVote, we don't necessarily distinguish between what I define as three voting ecosystems in terms of their needs, and there being a great need, right? There's the government ecosystem, there's the non-governmental organization ecosystem, and then there's the corporate voting ecosystem. And I think within each of those, there are, would you call it bulkhead or beachhead options for getting past the initial hurdle. In the government, I see adoption happening first in potentially emerging democracies, and some parts of those emerging democracies, not necessarily the whole election being held on blockchain. I see voting for those with disabilities, voting for those who are voting absentee or overseas, as being the best possible way to get traction in the governmental ecosystem. Within non-governmental organizations, there are a variety of, I think, quicker wins around the option for sponsored elections. So imagine a PTA meeting or PTA voting and having that entire election be free because it's sponsored by some corporation like Crayola or Coca-Cola or something like that. Or a bar association having their entire elections written off because Starbucks sponsored it. So that's possible with what NetVote's doing, and it would allow for the voter's identity and vote to tie directly back to their incentive. So I think within NGOs, that's a possibility. And then within corporate elections, there's also that same opportunity for sponsorship and rewards, and I think those will be some of the things we would go after. I think, again, going back to what I said at the beginning, it just depends on the ecosystem where the election is being held. But I think there are some really strong options for tackling and solving hard problems and making things so much easier and so much more affordable by addressing the needs in that particular ecosystem.
Yeah, Portia, but I'm also saying there's an inertia to each of your ecosystems, and the greatest inertia is in governmental organizations, and the inertia is much lesser in corporate. So if you were to, and all governments, as you know, are not created equal either. There are a government like Estonia might be very pro-blockchain, for example, or Belarus or France or Switzerland or Singapore. So, and then there's the size of those governments as well. So I'm just wondering what the low-hanging fruit was. Have you guys done any analysis of that?
We have nothing that, you know, I could speak to formally at this point, but within the United States, just as an example, there are some states that have remote voters and voters that have to travel too long to get to a polling station, where they're exploring blockchain as a potential solution for that. And I also think, and this type of voting falls into the NGO space, but it's related. There are intra-party elections that happen that are not part of the government ecosystem. And so that would be an area where I would see blockchain potentially fitting in. And we've got some really wonderful advisors that are helping guide us on that.
Yeah. I'm going to be eagerly looking forward to the progress of NetVote. My own bet will be on corporate proxy votes as a starting point, as a beachhead, if I were to pick, if I were an advisor. All right, that sounds good. So what are the next two or three key events that are happening at NetVote that people can look out for?
Well, I guess it depends on what the people are. I mean, right now we're working with institutional investors, and we've got a couple of really good conversations going. We are not decided yet on whether or not we'll do a public offering of our token, but that could be something that we could look forward to. I think next up are some really exciting partnerships on the technology space, and some you know, partnerships on the long-term scalability of the offering that I'm really looking forward to telling the public about.
You're right. The public, that especially when you think about who would be our target audience for something like this podcast, for example, to some extent, it might be people that we currently have as our audience. Those are people that are interested in blockchain and its several interesting applications. By far, this is one of the most exciting and innovative of blockchains I have talked to. There's no doubt about that. But it's also trying to crack a very complex and difficult problem, very entrenched as well. So I think almost everyone who's involved in who's heading out some kind of a group decision-making event, whether it is in a corporate, non-governmental, governmental setting, it doesn't really matter, should all be people who should be paying attention to what you guys are doing. And that would be a community that maybe you already started building that out. I would expect, if I were to look through a newsletter subscriber list of NetVote, for example, to find all of those people to be subscribed, because they should be very eager to find out how this can help them solve their problems.
I agree. I'm actually incredibly impressed at how many strongly held opinions there are about voting in elections in general. I mean, everyone has an opinion, and depending on their experience, has a different priority on what is the most important thing that a voting solution should provide. But I think we, especially in, maybe in the US, you know, recently, we've just grown sort of apathetic about the whole process. And it's almost like it's just this accepted problem. And it's not just here. I think it's in other places too. And so I'm very much enjoying engaging people on this topic and hearing the different suggestions and ideas and fears and hopes and dreams that people have around improving elections.
This is awesome. Portia, were there other key points that you wish to cover with our audiences?
You know, I think one of the things that I guess, observing about this space in general, the blockchain space, and is that the leaders are going to have to be really good at three things, and that's technology, the other is innovation, and the third is economics. I don't see how any project can succeed without being an A player in each of those three areas. And in particular with these projects that take on economies of scale, like voting or supply chain, financial transactions, that sort of thing, the governance of the solution itself, the economics behind it, has to be as solid as the technology. They have to work together, and the vision has to be innovative. And so I'm so excited to be part of a project where I think we're hitting all of those marks. And I'm really looking forward to seeing how things kind of play out for us and for the other leaders in the space.
Oh, me too, Portia, absolutely. And all the best to you and your entire team. The fact that you guys are doing this is amazing, and also very excited. Either way, you know, if you guys plan to do a token generation event, token sale, or not, either way, I would like to not just keep in touch, but come back to you periodically for an update to our audiences.
So, we would like that. I'm glad you said so, because I think that would be wonderful.
Portia, thank you very much, and wish you the very best.
Thank you so much. You too.
Thanks for listening to the Crypto Knights. Never miss an episode. Subscribe now at www.cryptonights.io.